morning.
Good morning. That last song, I know a breakthrough is coming. We have to know that 2021, there is a breakthrough coming. That's such a powerful word. Yes, we claim it this morning. There is a breakthrough coming. We've been waiting for it. I know it's coming. Miracle is on the way. So we as a staff got together and we came up with this theme for our kind of our month or the next few weeks. And it's let's go. So 2021, let's go. That's what we're focusing in this morning on 2021, let's go. Ethan asked you how many stayed up late. I was going to ask the same question, so we must be in tune. So I stayed up to the new year. Ryan didn't make it, just so y'all know. He was in the bed. He told me to wake him up, but I let him rest because he had to work. But 2021, we are running like a steamboat ready to go. Did you make resolutions? I wonder who all makes New Year's resolutions. Raise your hand if you made any resolutions. Very few of you have made resolutions. You must be done with that, okay? So I want to encourage you to make some resolutions. And if you haven't done it yet, it's never too late to decide to do something big for Jesus this new year. We're going to kind of focus in on that. Today we're looking at Philippians 3, if you want to find a Bible, find your scripture online, whatever you do or however you do it. But we're focusing in on Philippians 3 this morning and just talking about the new year. So our theme passage is 3, 12 through 16. So I want to read that to you and then we're going to break it down little by little as we go through the study today. So it says in Philippians 3, 12 through 16, it says, Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and in anything you think, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. So that's where we're focusing in this morning and trying to seek. So number one, first point is none of us have arrived. We can learn from Paul and we can learn from his story and we can learn that none of us have arrived. That is actually what Paul has said here in this passage in 3:12. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am perfect, but press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made his own. So it's a growing process. It's a sound perspective. Paul was saying basically, if I'm being honest, that is I don't know if you guys have that quote in your house, but my children, they constantly say, if I'm being honest. And I was thinking, why aren't you just always honest, okay? But they constantly say, if I'm being honest. Well, Paul here, he's just basically saying, if I'm being honest, I have not arrived. I have not arrived. So none of us have arrived. I'm going to tell you, if Paul has not arrived, none of us have arrived. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, none of us have arrived. See, because Paul's journey, it's pretty humbling to think about that he would say, I'm not there yet. But his journey was, you know, he knew everything there was to know about the word, and he had not attained all that he wanted. He was full-time in ministry. He was in prison for his pursuit of Jesus, even at the time of this. And he was a church planter who suffered all kinds of persecution. But he says, not that I have arrived, not that I have attained. I am not where I want to be. I am not where I need to be. I am not where I can see I'm going. So this year, I hope and pray for you that you haven't thought that you woke up on 21 and you think, I got all the answers and I have arrived spiritually and I know exactly where I'm going and I'm just motoring this way, because none of us have arrived at what God has for us. So it is a journey. It is a growing process. It is a step by step, and sometimes baby steps, and maybe just smaller than that. So if he's not arrived, I'm not there yet either. Mm-hmm. If he has not arrived, I'm not there yet either. So it's teachability. It's strengthening our study in the word. It's milk or solid food, choosing one or the other. It's a step by step journey. So in 2 Peter, it says this. You can open your word to 2 Peter if you want. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8 is where I'm looking at now. And it says this, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. So it is moving one step to the next, one journey to the next. Self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection. These are the qualities that we need to be increasing in 21. In 21, these are the qualities that we need to be increasing. So point two, we need to forget what lies behind and work hard on our future. We need to forget what lies behind and work hard on our future. Brothers, it says in Philippians 3:13, it says, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. So forgetting what lies behind and straining moving forward. So Paul had a laser-like focus. I don't know what your laser-like focus is, but every one of us actually probably has something that we are lasered in on, that we are focused in on, that we can think nothing but about, that we are driven to find. And so Paul's laser-like focus is one thing. He says there's one thing, there's only one thing, which seems like a lot more things actually when we break it down, but there's one thing I do. He didn't say, there's one thing I plan on doing. He didn't say, there's one thing I intend to do. No, he said, there is one thing I do. There's one thing I do. That's so different than plan to do, attempt to do, maybe gonna try it. And that's kind of where we stand, don't we? Sometimes even in our resolutions, don't we say, maybe gonna try it this way this year. If I don't succeed, I'm just gonna put it out there that I'm gonna try this. No, Paul says, there's one thing I do. And in James 1:22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So there is one thing. Paul had a short memory. He was forgetting what was behind him, instead moving forward. So he was forgetting past failures and sin, because we know that Paul had a lot of past failures and sin. I mean, he was the persecutor of all persecutors to the church. Now he was on the church movement. He was in church direction, and he was the one that violently tore down the church. So that in itself could have ruined Paul's next step. But instead, he had a short memory. He was living by grace and not regret. So we need to move forward. We need to live by grace and not regret. It could literally ruin him, and the devil, he wants to ruin each of us. So we will live by our failures. We'll live by our past. We'll live by yesterday. We'll focus in. He wants to ruin us, but God intends to move us and shake us. And let's go to the one thing that God has for us. So in Luke 17, 32 and 33, it says, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will keep it. So remember, Lot's wife looked back, and that was to her demise, to her ruin. So we must remember, she was longing for what she left. So her danger, it was dangerous to look back. Who has your gaze? Who has your gaze? Because what you are gazing on is what you are moving towards. So who is it or what is it that you are looking back or lingering to find or lustful about? Because she longed for what she had left. And sometimes we long for the familiar, even though we know it's not right, even though we know it's not God's plan, even though we know it's not God's direction, we do just like Lot's wife, and we look back instead of facing forward. So Paul chose to have a short memory. He chose to have a short memory. And I read this. It says, Olympic runner's perspective on a short memory. The only way to win a race is to forget all previous victories, which would give you the false pride, and all former failures, which would give you false fear. Each race is a new beginning. Pressing on to the finish line is all that's important. So many times, we do this in church life too, we look to where our success was, we look to what was yesterday, we look to, oh, in the 19 so-and-sos, this is where we were, and we were blowing and going, and we were so successful, and this and that. No, that's not what God has for us. God has for us a laser focus to the one thing, forgetting what was yesterday and focusing in on tomorrow, focusing in on the prize, and the prize is forward focus. in Isaiah 43, which is a great passage for the new year. It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So we have to have a short memory. We have to quit looking back and focus our gaze on the prize of Jesus, the upward calling. So Paul chose that, to have a short memory. He was straining like a runner, stretching to cross the finish line, giving it his all. So I've been to lots of track meets. Caleb ran track a couple of years ago, and Sarah Jane is a runner, so I have runners in my house. I always wanted to be a runner, always wanted to be a runner. I am not a runner, so it's Ryan's joy that he has some runners because Ryan is a runner in our house. So it was so fun to watch them, and at the end of the race, they're running, and then you know the finish line, they are running extra hard. They are sprinting that last part out to win the prize. So that is what Paul is talking about here. He is talking about running the race and straining, not just coasting and cruising along. And it's a beautiful journey, and I just love the weather. And that is not what Paul is saying. He is saying move and strain and work and stress in God's glory. Move it. I watched Iron Will this weekend. Has anybody ever seen that movie, Iron Will? Okay, that's your homework. Watch Iron Will. Because in Iron Will, at the very end, it's about dog sledding. I mean, it's really cute. It's really a good movie. But at the very end, he is straining to win the prize. He is straining to win the prize. And he is not coasting. It's an all-out victory. Is your commitment to Jesus non-negotiable? Or is there a crack that you're basically still thinking on? If this plan maybe doesn't work, or if it doesn't end up the way I want it, I have this to fall back on. Is that your journey? That is not what God has for us. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you're struggling with something because you got hurt, or your relationship is struggling, and you're just thinking, I'll fall back on Jesus if he does this for me, or if I get this, or if this works out this way, I'll fall back on Jesus. No. God is looking for the all out and in the race. We are in a battle, so we need to fight like we're in a battle and not allow the enemy to step in and cause us to think on other things, because the enemy is a master manipulator, and he is counting on the cracks that we leave open to work his way in us. So in 2021, no turning back, no turning back. If we turn back, we'll miss the new. We'll miss it. So no turning back. On turning back to another thing that's really interesting, sometimes in our turning forward, facing backwards, we have a hard time forgiving. So maybe today we have come with some unforgiveness or unresolved wounds, or we're holding on for hope deferred, or we're carrying somebody else's burden, or whatever the struggle is that you have arrived at 21. I mean, we have had a lot of struggle in 2020, right? I mean, we've had a lot of issues. We've had a lot of hardship. We've seen COVID, and COVID is so torn us apart here, even at this church. So we have seen a battle in 2020, but 21 is new. Amen. 21 is a new movement. 21 is a new victory. So we have to forgive. We have to move forward. We have to step forward. There was a lady named Clara Barton. She was the founder of the Red Cross. And she said this. When Clara Barton, founder of Red Cross, was talking with a friend one day when the name of a person they both knew came up. Years before, that person had done some very mean things to Clara. Her friend asked, "Don't you remember what they did to you?" Clara says, "No," she replied. "I distinctly remember forgetting that. I distinctly remember forgetting that." So sometimes in the journey, the enemy, even friend groups, want to encourage us to look back to false hurt, to look back to hardship. But God wants us to distinctly forget what lies behind and move forward to what God has for us. What God has for us. So point three, we press on and in towards Jesus. We press on and in towards Jesus. In Philippians 3:14, it says, "I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. We press forward. We press on. We press towards Jesus. It says in Matthew 6:33, But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So it's getting our laser focus in on Jesus, pressing on and pressing in. Pressing on and pressing in. If we want to see a breakthrough coming, the miracle that's on the way, we have to press on and press in towards Jesus. He's the only one providing that miracle for us. He's the only one providing that breakthrough for us. Jeremiah 29:11, you probably have this marked in your Bible, but I love the 11 through the 13 part, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not evil, to give you hope and a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So when we press on and press in, we're seeking God with all of our heart. And when we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. That's pressing on and pressing in. Pressing on and pressing in. It's being in his presence. And Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not conform any longer. Do not be conformed to this world." I'm going off on my scripture memory instead of the verses that I've written out here. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." What is good, acceptable, and perfect. So I don't know about you, but have you ever been in an elevator and you've been all standing in the elevator and you're just standing there and you're just standing there and you're just standing there and the elevator is closed and you're just waiting and you're like, why is the elevator not moving? And you're just looking around at each other and you're like, oh, I forgot to push the button. Oh, I forgot. So that's kind of like what we're saying here. We're saying, I want a breakthrough. I want a miracle. And I am going to do nothing for it. I'm going to do nothing for it. I'm not going to press the button for the elevator to go up, for the journey to move. I'm just going to stand still in this elevator and I'm going to look around and see if anybody else is going to do anything about that. Because nobody can do what God can do through you in the study of your word. So you have to press the button and move on. So we need to just move on and press the floor that we want to go. It's an upward call. It's an upward call. It's a superior reward beyond the reward that we can see. There's so much. I don't know if you've ever studied this, and this is kind of a study for another day, but just think on this thought. There's so much journey in the unseen. There's so much journey in the unseen that we cannot see for ourselves, but there is angels and there's a battle and there is victory in the unseen and there's a battle going on for us. It's like the good and evil battling for each of us. And so there is a superior reward beyond the reward we can see because we have not obtained it yet. We are not there yet. It's an upward call. It's a heavenly call. It's a beautiful journey, but it's more than we can see. So it's a past our immediate desire. It's past. If you can get past your laser focus on your immediate desire and see that God has something so much greater, so much bigger, so much better, then that will take you to the place of pressing in and pressing on towards Jesus. So much bigger. So past our immediate desire is way better and way bigger. Jesus is the center of it all. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the center of it all. So God must work through us if we're going to win the race. God must work through us if we're going to win the race. Without me, God says, you can do nothing. That's John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing. God's work in us so he can work through us. God works in us so he can work through us. It's the work out of the overflow. So as you spend time with Jesus, as you spend time with the Lord, as you're pressing in and pressing on towards the prize, that is when he uses you to do the work that only he can do, when we put him in us so he can work through us. So some Christians, and this is where I think every one of us has probably been, some Christians are so busy. And this is kind of like a monk, too. I don't know if you've ever read anything about monks. And they're amazing because they're spending time in the Word. And they're totally probably introverts, not like me. But some Christians are so busy dying to self that they never come back to life again. So they're so busy dying to self that they never come back to life again to run the race. So there's more than the race of just Being alone in your prayer closet, being alone with the Word, that is everything. That is what gives you life. But it should spur you on to get into the world, to share the good news with a lost and dying world. It should not leave you alone in your closet till Jesus returns. We are not going to be confined in an incubator until Jesus comes just for our protection. No, God has a bigger plan, a better plan. And it is pressing on and pressing in towards Jesus. And when we do that, don't stop running for the prize. And the others, the other people, this might be you. If the other one wasn't you, just in your closet all the time, this one might be you. And others are sure that they make it on their own, and they never need to stop. They never need to read the Word. They're just working on their own power and their own strength. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. It is a balance between Word and life and breath that God gives us, and movement and leading a lost world to Jesus Christ and serving the church and serving the body. It is a movement, and we can't do it on our own. We can't. So Paul was not saying we attain heaven by our own works or by our own efforts. He was simply saying, just like the athlete is awarded for the performance, so he is faithful believer. We will be crowned when Jesus Christ returns. He says that in 1 Corinthians 9. So let's look that up. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 says this. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians 9, I'm a rattler, so I'll move on, and I want you to be able to open the Word if you want to. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, it says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So we have a chance to receive an imperishable wreath. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So he is talking about a race here. He is talking about an Olympic run, actually, and you can study that passage at a different time. But what we need to know is not just one runner who gets the prize here. It is all of us have an opportunity for the prize when we are running with Jesus. We are rewarded for our performance. We are not just simply rewarded for our performance. We're rewarded when we spend time and focus in and serve God. And it's the crown with Jesus, and it never fades. It never fades. So all Christians will receive their reward, and the crown Christ will give will never fade. Take hold of what Christ Jesus took hold of in us. So what are your plans? What are your plans to press on and press in the new year? What are you? How will you do it? How will you arrive at growing in Jesus? Your spiritual goals, your markers, not just do, but be. How will you and what will you do? What is your direction this new year? It has to be Holy Spirit driven. You can't muster it up. You can't do it on your own strength. But when you are seeking the Lord will find you. And when the Lord is finding you, he will direct you towards that next step, that 2021 vision. What are the spiritual markers in your life in the past? So use them to spur you and push you to the next spiritual marker that he has for you. You know, something that I find that's interesting just about me and that I found in my life is that God uses the things about each of us. He uses the things about each of us that we think are going to hold us back. That's actually the thing that he uses to propel us forward. So if there is a reason you're not pressing in, maybe you don't feel like you know enough, or maybe you just don't even know where to begin, the thing about the Lord that is so beautiful is he uses the things that we think hold us back to push us and propel us to that next step, to that next plan he has for us. We would continue to move closer to Jesus. Any relationship, it doesn't matter if this is just Jesus or any relationship, you will know if it is not moving, it is dying. Okay, so the same is true with Jesus. If you aren't moving closer to him, you are moving further away. If you are not moving closer to him, you're moving further away. So if you're not spending time in truth and you're not gaining knowledge from his word and you're not bringing others around you to help you in that growth pattern, then you are moving further away. So 2021, let's go. Let's move closer to Jesus. Let's be drawn to him. Let's not try to do it on our own, but do it through him. Point four, hold on and grow. Hold on and grow. Philippians 3:15 through 16 says, let those Those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. So we are merely a dot, and the rest is eternity. Okay, we are merely a dot, and the rest is eternity. So if you are hanging on whatever has hurt you, if you're hanging on to just this little world that we are living into, this little maybe 90 to 100 years that we have on this earth, and that's a long life, right? 90 to 100 years, that's a long life. So if you are living on just this 90 years of this life, and you're thinking this is the end all be all, let me tell you, eternity is vast.
Amen.
We are merely a dot, but eternity is so big. And so don't hang on these 90 years of our life. Instead, hold on. Hold on for the prize. Hold on for what God has for you. And Paul is saying this to mature ones. That's us, right? Mature ones. He is saying, but if you don't get it, don't worry. I don't feel like I have to share it with you because the Holy Spirit will lead you in this way. That's kind of what he says. So we are living in the dot, and the rest is eternity. And the eternal things, they are the most important. They are the most important. We are all standing together in every tribe, in every nation, in every tongue, is bowing before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the most important. So hold on. Hold on and grow. Stand strong and hold on. Hold steady. No slipping. No slipping at this point. If you feel like you're slipping, call, phone a friend, right? Phone a friend. Call, find someone to help you, hold you accountable, because there will be days that are tough. And we have walked through some tough days. Days that I don't even understand, and we will not understand on this side of eternity. But if you feel like, I am here to say, if you feel like you are slipping, get a friend to hold you accountable. Get someone to walk with you. Our life group ministry is like no other here. I just want you to know that I have witnessed in this season of COVID-19 life groups that have stuck together. We can't meet on Sunday. Oh, well, we're meeting anyways. You know, it is happening. They can't meet here in the building, but they're meeting online. They're phoning each other, or calling each other, or checking in with one another. It is so sweet. It is such a blessing to see that we are going to hold on and grow. Stay steady in the race. Don't let the enemy tear you down at this point. We are running together, and we're not going to leave it. No man left behind, right? No man left behind. So get in a group, find people that you can trust to help you grow. And none of us are going to be better, any better than the other. So don't be ashamed of anything or any place that you have been, because we have all had our own struggles and we need each other. So God will reveal it to you. And Paul is saying here, if you don't have it, don't worry, because God's going to reveal it to you and he's going to help you grow. So God's plan is to walk obediently in his truth. God's plan is to walk obediently with him. Don't sin that grace may abound. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We're like, oh, God's going to forgive me for this one. I'm going to go ahead and make this decision. No, hold on. Remember the spiritual plan. Bible history is filled with many people who began the race with such success, but failed at the end because of the disregard for God's plan, the disregard for obedience. There are so many to name, but I'm going to name a few. Lot, Genesis 19, Samson, Judges 16, Saul, 1 Samuel 28, and Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. So in the journey of Bible history, we have seen many start the race with such vigor, only to fail, only to struggle, only to disregard God's plan. And when we disregard God's plan, we're not going in his direction. We're not going in his movement. We're not going in the place that he has for us. I want to tell you that when I was in seminary, that we had at Southwestern, there was like a square block, and it really looked kind of small, but it really was not, okay? So one day, there was some girls in my Bible saying they were runners, and I always wanted to be a runner. I was just like dying to be a runner, and I so just cherish like what you runners can do. Can you train me up? That's what I want to know. So one day in seminary, I was like, I'm going to be a runner today. So I, you know, get ready, I get dressed for the run. I didn't bring anyone with me, thank the Lord. So I went and I was going to run that square, just that simple square, which is over a mile, just so you know. That simple square, and I thought, I can make it, you know, it's not that big. So I get out there, I find a place for my keys. I mean, it's just such a decision, all the runner decisions you have to make with all the things that you bring on the run. So I was like, should I bring my water, should I not? But I set out to run that square, okay? And so I get about halfway through the first line, okay? Remember, it's a box, okay? I get about halfway through and I'm about to die. I'm dying. And I'm like, oh no, I cannot let anybody see me fail. So because people were there, you know, just walking because that's what they do. And so I had to get around the corner before I could stop. And then I just kind of walked the rest of the way. I was like, the enemy's not going to stop me. I'm just going to fast walk it. But so don't stop. Even if the plan doesn't work out the way you had planned it, don't stop. Pursue the higher call. Run the race daily. Run the race daily. So it'd be even more exciting when we experience the upward calling when Jesus returns to take us to heaven. Then we will stand before the judgment seat, the Bema seat in Romans 14, 10 through 12. And he can look at our life and he can say, well done, and move forward to the prize. So this is kind of interesting. We're living between the two Advents. We've had an Advent season. We're living between the two Advents. Christ coming as a baby and Jesus' return between the two Advents. Advent is an arrival, right? We are living between them, and we know the end of the story. We know the end of the story. So no COVID crisis, no shutdown financially, no government issue. The church is alive and well. We're living between them. 2020 did not defeat us. 2020 was no surprise to Jesus. So don't let it stress or confuse you. God is still on his throne. And we are just getting started. The church prevails. Don't think that anybody is ruining the church. The church prevails. And the mission of Christ has not changed. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And our government rests on his shoulders. Our government rests on his shoulders. So we can trust in that Matthew 16, 18 verse that says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So 2021, we are just getting started, and there's no turning back.
Amen.
No turning Amen. Back. Hebrews, this is what I want to end with here in the scripture, is Hebrews 12, and this is kind of our theme for this whole scripture, let's go, this whole sermon series. And I want to end with this morning, just focusing in and honing in on God's plan for us. And knowing that in a race, I've watched a lot of races, marathons, and I get so excited when Madonna comes and we get to watch those runners come by, and the Kenyans when they run by. I mean, I've been out there when the first runners of Madonna run by, and you're just like, wow, that is so exciting. And, you know, you're cheering along the way. I've gotten to cheer Sarah Jane and Caleb and some of others, ones of you at races. And it's just so encouraging when people are running by and there is just an excitement of cheering on. And you feel like when somebody's cheering you on, you can just go the extra mile. You can just go one more step. Of course, that day at Southwestern, no one was cheering me on. That must have been the issue. No one was cheering me on. So here in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, we'll probably read it some more throughout this Let's Go series. It says there this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those who've gone before us, right? All those who have been saints in glory, all those who have made amazing decisions, martyrs and missionaries and brothers and sisters that we love and family members, all those who have gone before us, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, the first part says this, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. You know, some of those people that you know that have been great, great spiritual mentors in your life, they are there and they are cheering us on. They are cheering us on and they are saying, you can do it. The church prevails. 2021, let's go. And one of our greatest cheerleaders, one of our greatest cheerleaders right now, and he was really a great cheerleader here on this earth, is Tom. He's a part of that great crowd of witnesses. He is now cheering us on and he is saying, so 2021, let's go. There are cheerleaders cheering us on. We can do it. What does God have for us as a church? Because the church is alive and well.
Amen.
2021, let's go. I want to pray for you. Lord, thank you for loving us and saving us. And thank you for being our greatest cheerleader. Thank you for putting people in our path that mentor us and shape us. And thank you for bringing us to this place this morning. We are not going to dwell on yesterday or yesterday's hardship, God, but we are going to dwell on the future. We are going to dwell on what you have planned for us. And we are going to say, we will. No turning back. No turning back. We thank you, Lord, that you brought us here and we're ready for any mission and any plan and any direction you have for us. So we will press on and press in. We will stop looking backwards. We will only focus forwards. And we will recognize, God, that we have not arrived. But with you, we can arrive closer, closer, and closer to your plan and your direction. And we will stay focused, laser focused, on being obedient to you. We love you. We trust you. We give you all the glory, for you are only.